Welcome to the Management Minute with Dr. Donita Brown, where we sit down with business leaders to gain valuable insights and advice on how to navigate the world of management. Whether you're a seasoned manager or just starting out, this podcast is for you. I'm Donita Brown, a professor in the College of Business at Lipscomb University. I'm also an author, speaker, and habit coach. For almost 20 years, I worked in corporate America and managed teams of 2 to 102. Welcome to this week's episode. Today's guest is Dr. Scott Lucher. Scott, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get started with your one-sentence bio.
I mentioned there's going to be a lot of commas.
I love it.
Okay, here we go. Believer, follower, husband, father, brother, friend, founder, facilitator, coach, consultant, psychologist, practitioner, servant, and veteran, currently CEO and co-founder of People Puzzle.
That is a lot of nouns.
I told you it'd be a lot of commas.
Hey, you might win the award for the most nouns in a one-sentence bio. Although there's some verbs in there, too.
Well, true. But I wanted to be complete because I've heard your other podcasts. And as you've said before, there's a lot of roles that we have.
That is right. That is right. All right. Well, you ready to get started with question number one?
Yes, ma'am.
How do your values impact your management philosophy?
I think they're foundational to my management philosophy, certainly driven by my faith and the experiences I've had in multiple arenas, specifically the military and my professional experiences. When I think about sort of categorizing those, I think they're very much akin to servant leadership. So the Greenleaf ideas around listening and empathy and community and persuasion, you know, those sorts of values in terms of actually just putting others in front of yourself and caring enough to find out what's going on. I think as managers, that's the role, is you're there to care and feed others.
Yeah.
And so having that focus and that empathy is really, I think, the essence to management.
Yeah. And I love what you said about faith and military. Tell us a little bit about your faith, because you said you're a follower and a believer in your one sentence bio. So if you don't mind, share a little bit more about your faith.
Yeah. I mean, I became a believer almost 30 years ago. And certainly I think in that journey, the journey I'm still on, you know, the idea, and this gets back to the question you'll ask about the books. So I find great wisdom in the wisdom books, Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And, you know, the idea of serving others really comes from that. And this desire to come alongside where somebody is, feel where they're at, and be able to help, whether it's directly or indirectly. So, you know, there's that part of it. And then there's, you know, the belief that you have to have in order to do that. So for me, my faith is really grounded in a belief and then serving and showing up, being the hands and feet.
In your company, you have the opportunity to work with, I would imagine, a lot of different people.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you show those faith values in your work every day, which may be in a very secular business?
I knew you were going to ask that question.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I really do, you know, at the core, my faith is grounded in loving others, obviously loving God and loving others. And this idea of loving others is to me about meeting people where they are, whoever they are, how they are. And so I do a lot of work in HR. And in HR, they're really in the middle of all things in an organization. But for me, it's really getting to know where a person is, who they are, meeting them where they are, and serving them where they are. And that's how I show love and faith and sort of just being where that person is.
Yeah. Sometimes HR, though, is a hard business to be in.
Oh, it absolutely is. I think it's hard for a variety of reasons, but it's really the only function in an organization that has to take care of itself and take care of others. So if you think about it, you were in IT for many years. Your role was to make sure that IT was efficient, effective, worked, et cetera. And in that role as a manager, you cared for others. But the function isn't designed to focus on others, whereas HR has to focus on leaders, managers, supervisors, all the programs, processes, policies to create this great experience, or hopefully a great experience for people to work. And so it's really in this unique position where they have to be efficient and effective and create a good experience for them functionally, but also help leaders and managers care and feed for others. So that's why I really enjoy working in that arena. I've been in HR now for over 25 years. And it's just, you know, that's where I feel like you could really serve in a direct way.
What have you seen has been the biggest change in HR in the last 25 years?
I would say this evolution from personnel, which was more about administrative type work,
checks and balances, paperwork.
To business partnering, which became all the rage for all the functions, which is this acute focus on what the business says they need, we're going to provide. To now, I think what it really is around is to whom do you serve? And it's around our people. So you still have to be efficient and effective leading an HR function. And you still have to have all of those policies, processes, et cetera, that has to work. But to whom are you doing it for? And it's really about the people proposition and the employee experience and creating that best experience for them, as opposed to, or in addition to, just focusing on what a business leader might want.
Yeah, that's
because
great.
The business is people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we you know, in HR, it's kind of over-indexed a little bit in terms of, you know, this idea of business partnering.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, there's a business of the function. And
right.
The function has to work. And that to me is where I've seen the biggest evolution. And that was even happening before COVID. But COVID certainly accelerated the emphasis on employees and people and their value to the organization. And so I think that's where we're seeing where a lot of HR organizations are pivoting towards. We lost sight of that a little bit. Let's get back to really making sure that we're doing the best thing we can for our people.
Love it. So you mentioned care and feeding of the employees.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how you do that.
I think it's probably both, actually. It's really spending the time to understand who is it that you're leading, if you're a manager, a supervisor, a leader, insert the role, but really understanding who they are, where they come from, what's their experience, how do they think about things, and coming alongside them wherever they are, whoever they are, however they are, and giving them everything they need to be successful within the context of your role as a leader. That to me is around, caring is around asking.
Mm.
You know, I've heard other guests you've had talk about listening. Well, there's something that happens before listening. To me, you have to ask. And I think good managers and good leaders ask and then listen. That's the only way that someone knows that you actually care for them, is because you're asking how are things? How's it going, et cetera? And that's the idea then, by asking, you understand. And then by feeding, is that you act and respond in a way that helps that person. So to me, that's what care and feeding is, whether that's in a work situation, in a coaching situation, in a team situation, in a family situation, you know, with raising our children. It's the same idea.
Yeah, you have to be curious about your employees.
Well, sure. And if you're not, that would suggest that maybe you don't care about them in the truest sense as a person, and more you think of them as a unit of production.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I've worked in organizations where I think there's a mindset sometimes where, no, that person is a unit of production, and therefore we want to get the most out of that. And true, we want to have productive performance, et cetera. But how you do that is really best by getting to know and care. And I think that's how you care and feed for people.
That's fabulous. Thank you. Ready for question number 2?
Yes, ma'am.
Who or what has had the most impact on your management style?
Can I do a who and what?
Hey, absolutely.
So who would be my first manager? So I spent 10 years in the military. And when I left the military, I went to a recruiting firm to try to help find a position. And this was the mid-90s, and I had no business experience whatsoever. So I went to a recruiting firm and went on all kinds of interviews and things. And nothing was really catching. And then the manager of this recruiting firm had a conversation with me. And I was talking to him about what I wanted to do. And I said, you know, it seems like you guys have a lot of fun around here. Like, what is it that you guys do? You know, they were on the phone. They were ringing bells. They were having a great time. And I had no idea what they were doing. So we had a conversation. And then a couple of days later, he offered me a job to work there. And all I could offer was hard work, dedication. Mm. And I asked him, I said, so why did you offer me a role? He's like, you may not know how to do this, but you seemed interested. And I know you have a hard work ethic he took the things from my military experience and translated them into, I can work with this. And, you know, he was my first mentor. He was a man of faith also, and sort of helped lead me down a path. So he was definitely the most sort of impactful as it relates to management style, and really showing what that could be. Cause I really came from the military, which is a very different management style.
Sure.
And I think, so that's where the what also comes from, you know, 10 years in the military and the style of leadership and management in that, and then translating that into a business environment. I learned a lot. I made a lot of mistakes and a lot of missteps in that translation. And I think having that experience of him giving me the opportunity, one, to translate into business, and then two, become a manager and lead others and do things. And so really it was involved in that situation.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So that's the who. What about the what?
The what would have been becoming a manager in that company.
Okay.
So translating my military experience to now becoming a manager in that company, and the two couldn't have been more different.
Sure.
You know, in the military, there are certain instances where you have to be very directive, and it's a very directive style of leadership. Whereas in business, there are some instances where it can be directive, mm-hmm. but directive to an extent isn't going to work. So I was very directive at first, and I started to realize I'm not really gaining a lot of followership. So I learned a lot over those 5 years becoming a manager of managing within a business context. And so that experience of being my first sort of management role outside of the military was the most formative. And I've certainly carried it with me all the way through my career.
Thank you. Before we get to the next question, let's pause for a quick message about Lipscomb University's College of Business. Are you looking to sharpen your management skills and take your career to the next level? If so, look no further than the MBA program at Lipscomb University. Our part-time program is designed to provide you with the knowledge and the tools you need to excel in today's fast-paced business environment. Lipscomb offers both in-person and online formats that make it a perfect fit for full-time working professionals. Apply now and elevate your management skills. Learn more and apply at lipscomb.edu/business. All right, question number three. What book has made the biggest impact on you?
When I listened to the podcast the first time, I immediately looked at my bookshelf and there's, you know, a couple of hundred books there. And I'm like, how am I going to answer this question? And so I have a couple.
Okay, you can have more than one.
The first one is the Bible for, I think, obvious reasons I mentioned earlier. I think the wisdom books provide great direction around being a manager, serving others, mm-hmm. et cetera. The second is Developing a Leader Within from John Maxwell. Anything from John Maxwell is gold. And that was the first book I was given by my manager and mentor, my first manager. When I asked him, I'm like, help me become a manager. That's the first book he gave me. And so then I read everything from John Maxwell under the sun.
He's the best.
Yeah, I couldn't put him down. And then the last one, which I think you may not associate with management in the context for which we're talking about, is Spin Selling from Neil Rackham.
I don't know that one.
So Spin Selling, as the name would suggest, is a selling book. It was written around helping people to sell. And it was researched with like 50,000 different, it was a very researched approach to selling. And the idea of it is, as Spin would suggest, is it's around asking questions and it's around what's the situation you're dealing with? What problem is that situation creating? What's the implication of those things? And what would the need, what would be the payoff if we were able to solve for it? Those questions are very much coming back to your question earlier about how do you care and feed? You ask, what's going on? What situation are you dealing with right now? How is that impacting you? So it's the same idea of sort of using that approach. And I didn't really even think about it until I was thinking about the, you know, what book I was going to say. It's been less about selling for me and been more about asking and hearing and serving and being able to come alongside somebody because I've asked those questions. So I'm not selling anything. I'm serving. And by asking those questions, it almost leads the person to come to the realization. I use it a lot in coaching. I got to do something. And so in essence, so those are the three that have really sort of had a lot of impact, both in terms of management, but also in terms of just asking people and being really thoughtful about what I'm asking, and not for an outcome of a sale, but for an outcome just to understand what's going on.
Asking questions, though, it takes a little bit of humility.
Sure.
Because it's a whole lot easier for me just to tell you all the things that I know and tell you why you need a certain product or why you should do something.
Yeah.
Asking takes more time, too. So how do you find the right questions to ask?
It's interesting. I just listen. This comes back to the, the sort of the, what we were talking about before. I was in a coaching class earlier this week, practice coaching. And first, you know, question you ask is, you know, how are things going? What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about today? Mm-hmm. And then that sort of sets the coaching agenda. And I think this goes back to really listening. If you're going to ask the question about what do you want to talk about today, you need to listen to what they're saying and then start talking about that, as opposed to having the question in your head.
Right.
What's next?
Right. And really letting the other person drive the conversation.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so I try to use that in every conversation I have, as I'm not trying to ask the next question. There's not a motive behind it. I really just want to understand. And so it comes back to just intently listening. And I think really what it comes down to is, do you have the needs of the other person ahead of your own? Because if you do, then you're going to ask questions that are the right questions because you're really listening.
Sure.
If you don't, then there's an agenda. And I think everyone can feel that and see that.
Oh, absolutely.
It comes through very quickly.
Absolutely. All right. You ready for my favorite part of the podcast?
This is the speed round.
It is. So 60 seconds. Your job is to answer as many questions as you can. You get one pass.
Okay.
But don't overthink it.
I won't.
How many pairs of shoes do you own?
Oh my gosh. I'm going to say 40.
What's the best gift you've ever received?
A red Schwinn bicycle when I was 10.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Captain America.
If you could be any animal, what animal would you be?
A dog.
What's your favorite family recipe?
Pass.
What song reminds you of high school?
Where the Streets Have No Name from U2.
Have you ever eaten a bug?
Yes.
How would you survive a zombie apocalypse?
I wouldn't.
What's your favorite ice cream topping?
Chocolate sauce.
What's your favorite holiday?
Christmas.
If you could be any tree, what tree would you be?
Oak tree.
Would you instead cook at home or order in?
Cook at home.
Have you ever disliked something and then changed your mind?
Yes.
What's your most prized possession?
My family, which is weird. Not really a possession.
That's a good one to end on.
Yeah, it's my family.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. All right, so your job now is to give parting advice to managers. What's the best advice you can give to a manager?
I think it's as simple as it's about them and not you.
Mm.
I mean, management is a responsibility. It's a privilege. It's a lot of things. And so, but it really is about everybody else but you. And I think I made the mistake early on, as I mentioned earlier, when I was learning to become a manager, it was about me.
Mm.
What was I doing? How was I going to do this? It was it wasn't until I learned that, no, the job is really about everyone else. And so I think that's what I would say to any new supervisor or manager or leader is continue to focus on everyone else, because that's really what management's about. And so, as I mentioned earlier, ask people where they are, acknowledge what they've said, accept what they're saying. And I think for managers, sometimes that's hard because sometimes you hear something and you may not agree with it, but that's what they're feeling. And it's hard to say to someone what you're feeling isn't correct.
Mm-hmm.
So ask, acknowledge, accept that, and then act, do something. And I think that's really what I would say about management is it's not about you, it's about everybody else.
I love it. Scott, thank you for being this week's guest.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Management Minute. We hope you enjoyed this week's interview. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. If you have suggestions for future guests, please send me their contact information to donita.brown@lipscomb.edu. You can also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you.
This podcast is powered by the College of Business Content Creation Studio at Lipscomb University.